The Lord be with you. And especially with our guests in the service this morning, the children that have done such a terrific job in helping lead us in worship today. Thank you for helping out. And since you're our guests, I want you to know that we're going to skip our heavy and incredibly rigorous theological sermon series, which we adults have been doing most of the time. And you get to be the focus of the sermon today. How does that make you feel? Good? It's good. Today I want to talk a little bit about parties. Have any of you been to a party? Yeah? Does somebody want to tell us about the best party they've ever been to? I can put you on the mic even. Do I have to come down there? No? Okay, fine. I'll tell you about the best party I've been to lately. You got one? Oh, okay. All right, fine. About a year ago, a lovely couple named Steve and Alyssa got married. Right over there, people. And after their wedding, we had such a party. We ate some pretty terrific food, and we sang and danced, and we had a really good time. It was really good. When I was your age, I used to say, it's not really a party until someone opens a bag of chips. Is that true? No? Yes? I think it's true. It doesn't feel quite party enough until you got those greasy knuckles from reaching into that bag, and it's good. And about 11 chips is equivalent to one chocolate bar, so we're all in trouble for eating chips. So, why am I talking about parties? Because over and over again in the Bible, God keeps talking about this big party that he wants to throw. You might have heard a little hints of it already in the Bible today. In Isaiah, the first Testament reading that we heard, we hear about this party on a mountain that the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples. And it's going to have rich food, probably kind of like the rich food some of you are going to have for your Thanksgiving feast today. Turkeys, hams, roast rack of lamb. Crown of pork, maybe? I don't know. And for the grown-ups, there's going to be well-aged wines and rich food filled with marrow. I don't know how many people make that part of their Thanksgiving tradition, but for some people, that's a pretty big deal. And so what's God getting at with this big party? He's telling these people that someday this really big party is going to come, and everybody's invited. And if you read the whole Bible from start to finish, and you treat it like it's one big storybook, this promised party keeps on coming up over and over again. Or a table that God set for us. In Psalm 23, we're told that the shepherd prepares a table for the person writing that psalm and feeds them and takes good care of them. In Matthew's gospel this week, which we didn't even have time to read, we hear about this big party that God's going to throw. And he goes out and invites people from all over the place. Everywhere. People that didn't think they were going to get to come to the party. God wants to throw a big party of generosity and joy and celebration with his people. Now, the truth is, everybody knows what a party pooper is, right? What's a party pooper? Go for it.
People who crash the party?
Yeah, they make it all about them, right? They wreck the party somehow. I remember one time, I wasn't that much older than you, and I found out that if you threw the forks that they gave us for cake, you could pop the balloons really easily. And I just threw one, and it felt just like one of those knife-throwing guys from the movies. It just went kabam right into that. And then everybody picked up their fork and popped all the balloons in about a minute. And then I felt like kind of a jerk, because it wasn't my party, it wasn't my birthday, and I kind of pooped the party. It wasn't very cool. So, if I'm bringing up being a party pooper, and I'm bringing up God's party, the question then is, what am I getting at when I say that we shouldn't be party poopers somehow in God's party? Does anybody have any idea what it would mean to be a party pooper for God's party? Go for it. That's true. I would suck quite a bit if I That would be a bummer, right? Someone who's received much from God, who just kind of ruins the party. The adults would have said that if you hadn't been here, so I feel pretty comfortable with that. So what am I getting at? Why am I bringing up this party pooper thing? Well, the truth of the matter is that there's a certain discipline to the Christian life that actually takes a lot of work to achieve. I know we talk a lot about spiritual discipline in this church. Does anyone want to have a wager, a guess on what a spiritual discipline means? I know it's come up now and then in your world. No? Well, for me, my definition is, it's just something that we practice so that the shape of our hearts and the shape of our souls can be more in tune with God or more like Jesus. So, I'm sure that when you're, this never happens to any of you now, I'm sure, but I'm sure that when you're maybe around the house doing things, your parents remind you of your pleases and your thank yous. Is that true? And they sometimes get kind of irritating because they keep on bugging you to do that. There's a certain family discipline that's happening there to sort of shape the shape of what kind of person you're going to be, and you're going to have good manners, right? Well, when we practice spiritual disciplines, we practice certain things, postures and attitudes, different ways of being that help shape our souls. And the spiritual discipline, just coincidentally, that I want to talk about today is gratitude or thanksgiving. Can anyone imagine why I would want to talk about that today? That's right, Thanksgiving. We're right on the celebration of Thanksgiving here. And so, grown-ups and kids, here's my proposal for you. And I've had a number of pretty wise people tell me this one. No matter how you're feeling, no matter what your disposition is, no matter how upset you might be, or maybe you're tempted to feel sorry for yourself, get out a piece of paper and a pencil and start writing down just anything that you can think of that you're grateful for. And maybe you'll think, oh, I'm going to have like one or two things on this list. But my hunch, grown-ups, kids, my hunch is that before you know it, you'll find that you've filled your whole page. And the reason for that is because God's gifts to us, God's goodness to us, God's mercy and grace in our lives finds all kinds of ways to sneak into the cracks and sometimes just sit right there in front of our nose. And we might not even notice it. And typically we think that being grateful and being thankful is just sort of a feeling that we have. And yet if we practice being grateful, we practice gratitude, not just on the one big day when we get to eat turkey and stuffing. We practice the discipline of being grateful. Then our hearts will learn to be more grateful. And here's the really neat part. It's when we're grateful people. It's when we're people that receive God's grace and live as people that have been blessed by God. That's when we don't have to be party poopers anymore. Quite often, when you come to church, we tell you, when you leave this place, we want you to love people and take care of people and feed people who don't have enough food and clothe people who don't have enough and forgive other people. And it's a really big job, right? It feels like too big a job, actually. And I would say in the church, more often than not, we actually don't tell you where to start. We just say, go do the enormous job. Now, anybody who knows how to teach anybody how to do anything, usually there's step one, right? Your teachers say, here's where we start, step one. So, if you want to live out anything in this life of following Jesus, and you just want to know what step one is, and you're feeling kind of lost and in over your head, step one is try practicing gratitude. Try to live as someone who has received much from God, who has received many good things from God. And maybe it'll feel like those things are few, but even if you live in those moments where you receive God's grace and God's mercy and God's goodness, That's when you become a person who can actually spill over into the people around you. Because you'll realize, it's just in the same way as the litany and in the prayers, and even in the Second Testament reading today, that when we're people of gratitude, we're people of thanksgiving, that we don't have to be party poopers anymore. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for all you do for us. And we thank you especially for the graces and the mercies and the blessings that are right there under our nose that it requires a constant attention to be mindful of. Help us to remember your goodness to us. Amen.